Why do I not like the word consensus? I was thinking about this over the weekend. Consensus. What's the root word there? Census. Con? No, con. Con means like together. Census. I wonder what the root word there is. The census is when they take an accounting of everybody. They want to include you in the census to find out how many people are. Who cares how many people? Yes, probably for advertising, to find out what kind of people are where so they can sell you crapola. That's probably true. Yeah, I just want to bail out of it all. I don't want to show up on the radar of anybody. A consensus, it means that everybody agrees on everything. We have a consensus, as if that's a good thing. We have a consensus. What's a consensus? Everybody agrees. Yes, but is everybody right? They might all agree, but are they right? Everybody might agree that the Spam is the highest quality meat you can eat. Well, okay, we have a consensus, really, but what is the basis of that consensus? Hello, everyone. This is Martin Zender, and you are at the Revelation Series. I am making sense for a living here from my laundry room studio. It was about 2 weeks ago. I was discussing the topic of death with someone in this vicinity, and she read all the popular books on people that went to heaven for 15 minutes or went to hell for 15 minutes. And she says, well, I think people, when they die, they just become stars. Okay, so they're stuck talking to me. And she knows I do something like this for a living. I talk about God. They become stars. Okay, so stars are like gaseous things made of dust particles or whatever it is. So they become that. Or they go, their souls go into other people. You know. So like a kid that is born, it's the old reincarnation thing. A kid that is born is really the soul, has the soul of a person who died like 5 years ago. And they have evidence, she told me. These kids have this knowledge that they wouldn't have otherwise. Where did they get it? They got it from other people. They got it from other people who died, who didn't become stars. Some of them became stars, but some of them went on to become little kids who had different information. It was fantastic. I said, where'd you read this stuff? Oh, I got it from this book. Did you read it in the Bible? Well, no, I don't read the Bible that much. Oh, yeah. But Martin, you need to read this book. I know, I don't want to read the book. But this guy that's written that has a PhD, I said, well, it doesn't matter. PhD doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that you're right. It just means you've won a popularity contest. Well, how do you know you're right? And then she said this, do you have a PhD? I said, no, I dodged that. See, that's one of my credentials. People say, how do you know what you're talking about? Because I did not go to seminary and I don't have a PhD. That's in the plus column. I dodged formal education. She glazed over at that point. She didn't compute that. She goes, well, and then I said, gave her my classic response. I said, did Jesus Christ have a PhD? No, but he was directly from God. Okay, what about Peter, James, and John? Did they have a PhD? Well, no, but they were with Jesus. So am I. I'm with Jesus. Well, how do you... Oh, yeah, you read the Bible. Yes, that's right. I read the Bible, so I learned from Jesus too, just like Peter, James, and John did. And I can do that without a degree that, of course, takes us backwards and not forwards. Consensus. Don't like it. Oh, I saw a sign once in somebody's garden. This was a friend of mine over on the west coast of Florida. She had a sign in her garden. I wanted to share this with you. You've probably seen this. I think it's a common sign. I may have seen it in other gardens. It says, I'm famous in my garden. That's right. Now we're talking. I'm famous in my garden. Good. You see, this touches on this want of people to be famous, to be recognized. Oh, how great it would be to walk outside and have everybody recognize you and celebrate you. Well, ask the people to whom this happens if it's a great thing, and they will tell you it's probably a living nightmare to have everyone care about you and want to know what you think and tell lies about you and distort your life. It's a nightmare. You really don't want it. Celebrities spend half of their lives trying to get recognized, the second half of their lives trying to avoid recognition. There's a reason for that, because it's terrible. I'm famous in my garden. That is fantastic. Good. It is fame because you have living things there. You have butterflies. You have plants. And the same woman on the west coast of Florida who's probably watching this show, hello, she took me on a tour of her garden. It's a wonderland of living things. And butterflies were flitting around. It was a Garden of Eden in the midst of a wicked eon. And she felt alive there. And I felt alive there. And she is a celebrity in her garden. And that is quite relative fame, isn't it? And yet it's good enough. It's good enough. I've heard another saying, be a celebrity to your kids. You're a celebrity to your children. And you want the world to look up at you. Why don't you settle for this, to have your kids look up for you? Many people chase having the world look up to them when they're ignoring the best stage they have, the best production in the world, their family. They matter to these people. And daddy is the most important person to that little girl or that little boy. Or mommy is the biggest celebrity to the child. Of course, this changes when they become teenagers and you become an embarrassing attachment. And please, you stay over here while I'm with my kids. But that's temporary too. Because once they pass through that phase, then they come to the next phase when they have kids of their own. And then they realize how great you really are for having raised them. These things come full circle. You have to sit tight, just like buying a stock. I don't recommend this. I can't hold stock. I held stock for a while. I couldn't stand it. This was back way back when. But you just have to ride it out, apparently. You can't be thrown by the highs and the lows. You just have to be in it for the long haul. So if you're raising children, you're in it for the long haul. If you're raising a garden, you're in that for the long haul too. And you are famous in your home. You are famous in your garden. So don't be tricked by thinking that the more people recognize you, the better you are. Many times, and I will say all the time, it's the opposite thing. The Apostle Paul's only famous in retrospect. And in his day, he was a loser. He was a purported criminal, and he died in prison, ignobly, at the hands of Rome. So I'm famous here on this little show with you. You're watching me, and here I am. I'm talking to 350, 400 people. It's exciting. Can you tell I'm excited? I'm staring at a camera, but at the same time, I'm staring at you. And you're famous to God in Christ. As I often tell you, we are the celebrities of the next eon. If you want to be famous to someone, let me tell you something right now. You are on a stage. Paul says we are a theater to messengers and to humans. To messengers, those are the celestial beings. We are a theater here on earth. The celestial beings know who we are, and they are watching us very closely. I dare say that Mary and Joseph back in the day were very famous to the celestial world. Even as Mary and Joseph were growing up in their own households on their own, before they met and kissed and became fond of each other, before they started dating, before Joseph started taking her out to the Nazareth cinema and, putting his arm around her there. They were famous to the celestials because they knew who they were. They knew what they were going to be coming into. So the celestial world knows what we are coming into. So we don't need the acceptance of this world. It's petty. It's the big fish in the little pond. And our vision is so huge that we look at the world as a little pond. How's that? I used to make fun of the people from my little town where I lived, raised my family, Greenwich, Ohio. I used to make fun of those people because there were some people in Greenwich, Ohio who were like, yeah, I'm from Greenwich. Them people from North Fairfield, they're losers. But I'm from Greenwich. We're better than them North Fairfield people. I have a friend in Maine who lives in a little town. I can't think of the name of it, but there's an adjoining. Maine is a wilderness. My God, I went up there for the first time like 3 years ago. It's a wilderness up there. Moose and everything wandering around in the grocery stores. There are moose in the grocery store. Just kidding, but it could happen. But there's this little town called Otis, and they're called Oticians, those who live in Otis. And the people in Otis think they're better than the people who live in Annabelle. Whatever that, I'm just making up a name of a town that sounds very humble. Annabelle. We're from Otis. Are you from Otis? Wow. So there's a feud between the Oticians and the Annabellians in this little rural area of Maine. All right, those people have problems. You have a problem. You really have a problem. You have a problem in Greenwich, Ohio, if you think you're all that because you're from Greenwich. Now, the higher you raise your viewpoint, the more you see that it is just as stupid, let's say, to say, I'm an American. Now, I'm not saying we have some sense of national pride, but to think that you're all that because you walk beneath the red, white, and blue and the stars and the stripes, get a clue. Now, I'm going to take it a step further because we have the huge picture of being future celestial rulers, and we have the current scrutiny of the celestial world. Joseph and Mary, they were the angels. The beings in heaven were so excited about these two, and they watched them through their life, even as the world cared little about them, because these were the future parents, well, except for Joseph, he was a surrogate, of the Messiah. So they knew that these were the people who were going to raise the Savior of the universe. So they were famous, even while they were unrecognized, and probably ignoble in their own time. Raise the viewpoint. Now, I'm telling you that you are showing up on celestial radar right now. You are. The celestials are very interested in this show because the truth is going out. Not the mainstream end time interpretation stuff that's all wrong. The truth is going out. So they're interested in this. Yes, and so we are being attended to. Whenever I go to a living room meeting, I was in a living room meeting a few weeks ago in Orlando. I always tell the people there, I said that this is probably, even if there's 10 people there, I say right now in this room is the largest gathering of the body of Christ on the planet Earth. And I think that I'm pretty, at any given day, it's pretty accurate. And the people, they have to stop. It makes them feel special. And it should. Special where? In their city? In their town? In their country? On the globe? On planet Earth? No. Planet Earth doesn't care about them. That's why global anything. You don't need it. You don't need the acceptance of global. I'm trying to, in conjunction with the unveiling of Jesus Christ, convince anyone listening to the sound of my voice that the acceptance of global anything, the acceptance of millions of people, you do not need, because their perspective is skewed. They are living for today. They are living for their 15 minutes of fame. And it's easy to get tricked into this when you're watching it, when you're listening to it. It happens to me. When I'm listening to a cool song, I feel cool. And I want to be cool. And I want to do something awesome, man. And it's fun. It gives you a rush. It gives you a great feeling. But when the song's over, it's kind of depressing. Your favorite song ends and everything's quiet. Or you walk out of the movie theater and you're like, crap, I'm back in real life. That's because the movie theater, I'm not saying entertainment isn't good in that it relieves you temporarily of your problems, but you need to be careful here. Because you can become very dissatisfied with your life when you see how other people live and when you're just plugged in constantly to how cool people are. But I'm telling you this, that the people sound cool while they're making the song. Oh, they have the great life. But you know what? That song plays for 3.5 minutes. And while that song was being recorded, these people are on the top of the world. But then the music stopped for them too. And the silence began for them too. When they take those almighty headphones off from after the recording session, they're back in the real world and they're suffering. And the world, humans everywhere, lead lives of quiet desperation. Henry David Thoreau. Thanks for that quote, Henry. Everyone is quietly desperate. But you're tricked by entertainment. You're tricked by that song, by that movie, by that television show, by that newscaster. You're tricked into thinking that their life is perfect and that this is a world that you need to be plugged into because look how happy it's making them. It's all a lie. It's a deception. It tricks me sometimes too, because it pulls on that part of us that really just wants to be loved and wants to be accepted and wants to have other people think well of them. And we're constantly running our lives through a filter of how do other people see me? Well, you know, if the butterflies in your garden love you, if they alight on your shoulder, and if the plants wave, and if your flowers wave in the wind towards you, then they love you. If your children put themselves in your lap or kiss you goodnight, then you're loved by them. If your wife kisses you, then you're loved by her. If your husband kisses you, that's enough fame and love you need. And some of us don't even have that. And if you don't have that, then this is how you deal with it. This is how you survive. You survive under the umbrella of the love of God and the love of Christ and the fact that Christ sacrificed for you. You survive under the knowledge, the sure knowledge. And I tell you today, this is true, that the celestial world, the angels, the world mice, the celebrities now that count in the heavens, some of them even seated at the right hand of God, these care greatly about you because they know, speaking of butterflies, that you're a caterpillar. Now, you are an insignificant being made into a butterfly, and you will soon be in that realm with them. They know it. I would love to have us know it as well.